Pastor Kobe said about, you know, the Lord, Lord kind of Christians. Remember, he alluded to, you know, but Lord, I cast out demons in your name. Lord, I prayed for the sick. Lord, Lord, it's easy to say I'm a Lord, Lord kind of a Christian because we do trust the Lord. We walk in his ways, okay? But there's something a lot deeper that God wants to do in our lives. So I want to challenge you about the kind of Christian that you are at the moment and where God wants to take you even deeper into saying yes to doing what he's called you to do. So I'm now going to speak a little bit to, and please, I'm going to pray so hard this morning. My wife forgives me and that she will love me still after this morning. Because I am going to say a few things. I am talking a bit about marriage, but I'll say nice things, sweetie. You don't have to worry. But one of the things, fellow husbands, I don't know if this is you, okay? But you love your wives, right? Come on. Ah, amen. Thank you, Dion. We love our wives, okay? Therefore, we will do anything, right, to please our wives. We will do anything just to... I'm not saying keep the peace, okay? I'm not saying that. But just we'll do anything to have a harmonious relationship together because we know God has called us to be a blessing to each other and to others. Amen? So, fellow husbands, can you please just tell me, have you experienced, okay, the TLC anointing? The reality show anointing? Whatever you want to call it. You know those shows that you see on TV about the cooking shows? I've become the best chef ever that I could be because my wife loves to watch those shows and I have no choice but to watch them with her. But I love it quietly on the side. She thinks I don't, but I do. I really do enjoy those shows. But there was a show quite a couple of years ago, I don't know if it's still around, on TV, Say Yes to the Dress. Okay. What's that show about? Wedding dresses, okay? It's about this bride-to-be standing in front of her friends having just tried on this awesome dress. Look at me. Oh. And all the friends are there, and the mother-in-law even is there with a smile on her face, hopefully. And they're standing there, and she says, I think this is the one. And the guy says, is this the one? Yes. Are you going to say yes to the dress? Yay! And then look at those expressions. Everyone's happy. Okay, saying yes to the dress. And that got me thinking a little bit about the essence of marriage and what this show is all about. This is a very shallow show, by the way. Yeah, it's beautiful. Wedding dresses are beautiful. Okay, I'm not saying they're not because they are. But what got to me when I thought about the whole concept of that show was they saying yes to a dress that they're going to get married to and will only ever wear twice. The ones that they're standing there now showing everybody and then at the altar. And then that's it, only close, never see the dress again, okay? But what it symbolizes and stands for in a marriage of covenant before God should last forever. And they're saying yes to the dress, but they're not really saying yes to that deep covenant, God-ordained relationship that is so close to his heart. And people that don't know Christ, when they say yes and they make their vows and they do everything, it's a wonderful thing. But they're missing the point. And the point is that God wants to bless them. And God wants to bless you. And God wants to pour out his blessings upon us as we walk in his favor, as we understand what his role is in our lives and what he has called us to do. So this morning, we're going to look at a funny little title called Say Yes to the Bless. Okay? So when you have a look at saying yes to the bless, I just want to go off a little bit, is... if you're saying, God, I'm saying yes to you because I want your blessing. I want to be used by you in a mighty way. I want to make a difference in the world that you have called me to and my surroundings. I want to make a difference in my children's lives. I want to make a difference in my marriage. I want to make a difference in my friendships. I want to make a difference because God, you are enough for me and you have called me to make a difference. So when you look at it in that context, okay, and you say yes to be blessed and yes to walk in God's blessings, okay, what are you actually saying? What are you actually committing yourself to? Think about it for the moment. When you give your life to Jesus, all right, your whole life has been changed. You said yes to Jesus and he came in and he changed you. Amen? And now you have an opportunity to say, God, keep changing me. God, keep making me more like you, Jesus. And so what I'd like to suggest this morning is that, are you saying yes to the full blessings and purposes of your relationship with God? Are you saying yes to the bless, or are you saying yes to the mess? Because that's your only other alternative. Because this world is in a mess. Relationships are in a mess. Politics are in a mess. Schools are in a mess. And the only constant is God's amazing grace for us in a covenant relationship. So I want to encourage you in that this morning. Can we go to our scripture in Matthew chapter 5, that you know this well. What is this called? The Beatitudes. Let your attitude be. Yeah? Okay? But we'll get into that in a little while, what the Beatitudes are. And I'm going to paraphrase as I read it through. So just pause with me with your ears and just listen. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I just want to stop there for a moment before I carry on. Jesus presented the gospel on the mount with the Beatitudes, with this message. It's the first time he publicly went to preach. So here's this Jesus that is making a statement. He's making a name for himself because he's professing to be the Son of God. He's professing to be the Savior of the world. And now he's coming, and the first thing that everyone else is expecting him to say is who he is, why the Father sent him, and all the wonderful things that you can do and accomplish in your life because now he's there to save the world. Logically, that's what you would think. But you see, Jesus doesn't come and give instructions. He says that you will be blessed if you walk in this way. You will be blessed if you take on that very essence of who I am and what I want you to have in your life. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is it to be poor in spirit? It's to be humble and teachable and flexible and pliable so that God can use you and direct you in the way that he wants to. He wants us to always humbly acknowledge our need for him. Church, if we ever lose that desire to need God in our lives, we're in trouble. Because we need him. We need him in our lives. We need his grace. We need his power. We need everything that we can't get from this world, and it's in him. We need from him. So, when it comes to humbly acknowledging our need for him, that needs to be the very undertone of living our lives before God every single day. Not be self-dependent, but always being God-dependent. Depending upon God for everything. This morning we spoke about needs. We can depend on God to meet those needs at the very point of our need. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You see, we face challenges and we go through difficulties. And sometimes we even mourn our losses and our trials and the difficulties we experience in them and through them. But you see, God sends and always does his Holy Spirit to comfort us in times of need. Isn't that wonderful? That we can know that one of the greatest blessings is God's comfort the Holy Spirit that comes alongside you and comforts you when things get rough. But that word endurance comes in. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, okay, do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Guys, I know some of you at the point of giving up. I understand that. My own life, there were many times that I came to a crossroads and felt, what's the point? Things are not working out for me. I've had this prophecy for 9 years that God wants to send me to the mission field. I'm not even, you know, going around the corner to go and preach the gospel. You know, what's going on? And so I had all these obstacles, but there's one thing that I believed was God's promise over my life, never to give up, and that God had a plan for my life. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is not weakness. To be meek is to be gentle, is to be kind, to be patient and tolerant, not proud, mighty, or conceited. How did Jesus show his meekness to us? By being willing to submit to God's will. To the point of death, he was obedient. He died in our place. He came and he set us free from sin. And he's there for you to bless you and to guide you in your life. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We can come closer to God as we try to follow his teachings and his word and we learn more about him. The more knowledge we seek, the more he'll bless us with. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, when you search for me with your whole heart, I shall be found by you, declares the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? When you search for me with your whole heart, I shall be found by you, declares the Lord. We need to hunger and thirst after the things of God more than what we do. Sometimes we just take things at face value. God wants us to go deeper. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Showing mercy and forgiveness to those who hurt us. Even when Jesus was suffering, he spoke forgiveness over those who had brought that suffering about. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm telling you, you won't begin to imagine just how much you will see and experience within the fullness of God when you come before him with a pure and open heart. You'll begin to see and understand and experience God in totally different ways. That's called intimacy, church. And in a marriage, without intimacy, we just go through the motions, right? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and he encourages us to follow his example by loving everyone so that we can live together in harmony. It's so easy to want to sort things out by ourselves instead of calling on the Prince of Peace to come in and to show us what to do. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We're always going to receive criticism. We're always going to receive opposition to the lives that we live. People are going to say things. Even people close to us are sometimes going to turn against us. But you see, God will always bless you for the stand you take today, tomorrow, and all the way through to eternity. Why? Because he loves you and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. Go to the next slide. I just felt in my heart as well, just to have a look, and I'm going to probably home in on this. Blessing, or the word blessed, has two Greek root words. The one is makarios. And makarios doesn't pray for a blessing or speak about how we can be blessed, but it affirms an existing state of blessedness. Amen? Isn't that awesome? Okay? So when it says blessed are those, that's the state of blessedness that God has installed for you. If you become a peacemaker, you're blessed. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, God's blessings are there for you. It's affirming in your life. Those are the things you're doing which brings on the blessing and portrays a life that God is calling to new things. The other word that is there, the second Greek word, is more or less the opposite of that. If we could go to that, is eulogia. Eulogia. And it's the word used to pray that God will bless or bring something good to a person or to a situation. Amen? That's when we pray a blessing upon other people. That's when we come in our lives where we say, God, it's not about me, all right? I want to be a blessing to other people. Or, Father, the situation is bad. I pray your blessing upon this situation. Lord, that you would bring it to the good, that you would change that situation for your glory. Amen? That is eulogia. Makarios is a kind of blessing that we all should be walking in and desiring for our lives. That blessed state of Makarios. Okay? So we're gonna come back to that. But if we go to the Beatitudes very quickly and what it means, it's important for us to know that when God says that we need to say yes to the blessed, that we need to align ourselves in a relationship to be blessed and so we can be a blessing to other people, is to know that Beatitudes speaks about supreme blessedness. It's an assurance, as Jesus spoke that out to his disciples and to the people that were there, okay, that blessings will be granted to those who choose to be his disciple. You see, when you get married and you say yes to the dress and to the rings and to alichut before the altar, you are not just saying yes, okay, to the fact that you're a part of this marriage. You are saying yes to be an integral part of it in covenant relationship with your wife, your husband, and God. And it comes back to that realization of our spiritual poverty. And I really want to focus in on this. And we need to acknowledge our total dependence upon God. You see, when we do not depend entirely upon God and the leading and the guidance of His Holy Spirit, a lot of what we want to try and work out is in our own strength. And I just humbly want to say to you this morning, don't you want to come to that place in your life where it's not about you or your circumstances, but it's all about Him? Knowing that God has an answer, God has a plan and a purpose in everything. Let's go to the next slide. And I want to talk about covenant here, and I'm going to jump a little bit. I'm going to go quite quickly with this. But if you look at the Beatitudes, it highlights the amazing promised blessings that come when we develop certain covenant traits. So we all know what a covenant is, right? Okay? We're going to get to that in a little while. But what I really like about cutting a covenant, as you look at the Old Testament and you see the first covenant that God made with man through Adam, all right, and that when Adam fell and sin came into the world and the law was established and Noah could obey that law and it was in quite a mess, the second Adam, Jesus, came to reconcile the world back to God. And so when we look at Genesis 15, you can go and read there. There are always three elements: a sign, a promise, and a meal. And I'd like you just to remember this concept this morning, because for me it's such a special one. Is if you look at, for example, the covenant that God had with Noah, this is probably our favorite one. What was the sign? It was the rainbow, right? And we still see it to this day. And what does it promise? That we have no more universal floods. Now, we've had floods, especially this year in Cape Town, okay? But nothing to that magnitude that it was. Where God promised, okay, that He would not turn His face of wrath upon His people again in that way. And then there was a meal, and I love the significance here. And I'm not against any vegetarians. Please forgive me if you think I am, but I'm not. The end of the vegetarian era, as it was the first meal with meat. They were in the ark for many days, as you know. And they had to bring all the animals out. I don't think they could eat them. Okay. So the bottom line is, all right, that when you look at cutting a covenant, there's always a sign, there's always a promise, and there's always a meal, a celebration, a remembrance. So when we look at the covenant that God made with Jesus, when he sent him down to earth to die for you and for me, so that we could be blessed, not by the law, because it didn't work, but by grace. Undeserved favor. Why? Because he loves you so incredibly much. We cannot even begin to fathom the depth of that love, the height of that love for our lives. But when we give our lives to Jesus, we get that wedding feeling. I'm going to get married. You get excited. You say yes to the dress. And you get into your covenant relationship. And dit is waar die dinge begin, moeilik raak. Okay? But I want to just remind you the covenant with Jesus is that if you look at what was the sign when Jesus died on the cross for us, what was the sign? The veil was torn in two, amen? All right, and what did that signify? Yes. All right, so it was the promise that God has, the sign that came to say that this is a new day, this is a new era, this is a new opportunity for me to have a loving relationship with my children again. And he did it through the incredible love of his son. Man, if you look at the promise, what was the promise? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believeth in him should not perish." The promise is eternal life to those who walk in his promises, for those who embrace his gracious love for them. And the meal, what's the representation of the meal? The Last Supper, right? We do it in remembrance of what he did for us. We realize just how much God loves us. And that concept of meal keeps us grateful and gracious all the time. Because we partake of that meal every day when we remember how deeply he loves us. And how much he wants to change us. And just what an incredible personal God he is to us. Let's jump into the covenant, and I'm going to jump in here quickly. You know, when Rochelle and I got married, we didn't understand covenant much. We were young Christians, and we got into a place where we were used to each other. And we started to get to know one another out of being used to what she likes and what I like. And sometimes when we had battles and arguments, which no one has in their marriage, right? You come to a place where you realize, jy het nie 'n saak nie. Daar is nie 'n left or to a right nie. You're in this marriage because you promised God that you would walk in covenant relationship with your wife because you love her. Just a little example about blessing. On Friday, you know, when Rochelle comes to me and she calls me once, I quickly come here. I think, oh my goodness, now what? Because I know something's happening here. Okay? And I just sensed in my spirit that hier kom 'n ding. So Rochelle comes and says, we were at work still. A delivery guy dropped off a package at work on Friday after hours, and we were about to go home. And she had been to the bank and she had drawn some money because we were blessing a couple. We were invited to some family members' 50th wedding anniversary, so we drew money to give them a bit of a blessing. And she calls me and she says, there's this young man outside. I have such a sense that he is broken. There is such a brokenness upon his life. I don't know what it is, but I just have such a compassion and a desire to bless him. Now I could have said, no, you've drawn that money. I'm not going to the bank now to draw more money. Okay, because now I haven't got time for that. Are you sure you heard from God? I love her. I trust her. I know her intimacy with Jesus. And when Jesus says something to her, I know. I didn't ask any questions. Now I took that money And I went outside and he was walking to the car. I said, sir, you don't know me. I said, I don't know you. But I just want you to know that Jesus loves you. I said, I can see my wife just had a strong sense in her heart that you're going through a bit of a rough time and there's brokenness in your life and God can fix it. God can bring peace to you. And there's just a little something that I just want to give you just to say that we love you and bless you. And I gave him the money. His eyes just absolutely puffed open with tears. And he looked at me and he said, you don't know what I'm going through. He said, 2 years ago, my little five-year-old daughter died. And my life has never been the same since then. The emptiness, the brokenness, the hurt. And he looked at me and he said, thank you for caring. Say yes to the bless. Come on. Because that's the life that God has called us to. So when you look at marriage as a covenant, I won't go through all of that. But when we approach marriage as a covenant, we are truly making a lifelong commitment. It's a joining together. It's a binding contract that cannot be broken and only grows stronger and more meaningful with time. Pastor Kubas asked a while ago how many years we've been in the ministry, and we said, I think 40-odd years. Shoo. And marriage, we're coming up for 40, but just let me tell you something. That the key to covenant relationship for me was to say yes to Abba Father in everything, even though I don't even understand sometimes why things are the way they are. You see, you commit yourself lock, stock, and barrel when you get married. When you say yes to the dress, that whole concept, you say, yeah, I'll get married. Okay, I'll come into a relationship, but when it doesn't work out, I can jump out. I mean, we're living in a world that advocates that today. Where you're saying, okay, when things get a little bit difficult. What does the Bible say when we come together in marriage? The two shall become one. That's the covenant. There's no longer separation, there's now togetherness. The old has separated, the new has come. A freedom in a relationship with God. A freedom to come before God and to say, God, use me through the grace and the love you have for me, and let me accomplish that in my marriage. So when I said yes to Rochelle, okay, I said yes to love her, honor her, through sickness and in health, al dai goed, okay, are wonderful things to say. Go to the next slide. But in essence, what are you doing? So when you see marriage as a covenant, the wedding dress is the sign, right? And the wedding dress is a sign of prosperity and a lifetime commitment to that one person. That's what the wedding dress symbolizes. What's the promise? An assurance that you will commit to the relationship. Because when you say, I do, I'm in. I'm in this relationship because God has appointed such an incredible woman for me at this time. Will always be for all time because that's what he knows I need. And my goodness, over the years, I've needed her. I can do all the funny things. She's the tea to my eye or whatever, all that funny good. But let me tell you, the one thing she is to me is the rock on which this shaky oak needs to stand on sometimes and to realize just how awesome God is, because she shows that example to me day in and day out of what a godly woman looks like. I'm so privileged, I'm so blessed, and so incredibly grateful for God for you. Look at the celebration of the covenant. I see, I like no. Celebration of the covenant. It's a rejoicing. Ons eet lekker at weddings. Some of you only go to weddings for the food. I know. Don't tell me you don't. Okay. So there's the celebration of the covenant. And why do we say grace? I don't know. Do you know? Why do we say grace over a meal? Lord, bless this food. It's a blessing, right? But with the meal of celebrating the covenant, it's an ongoing celebration and thankfulness, and I want you to be ever mindful of that every day, whether you eat physically or not. But celebrate the covenant that you have with Jesus. Let's go to, we're at the end. We're going to park this bus now. So if you look at Hebrews 8 verse 10, he will establish with the people of Israel, and after that time declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds, write them on their hearts, I will be their God, and they will be my people. Four things, okay? The law is no longer written on a tablet, okay? The law is in your mind. Whatever is good, whatever is pure, think on these things. Have you ever heard somebody say, I love you with all my mind, eh? I've never heard that. I love you with all my heart, because there's substance there. The word has taken root. It's not just from my outside, okay? It's not a good idea. It's a God-appointed, wonderful, blessed thing. And then he says, I will be their God and they will be my people. Can I just say that you have a God who loves you? You have a God that wants to bless you. And you belong to God. You don't belong to this world. You are his people. Come on. And let's realize that that is the seat of our blessing, is that we belong to him. And he wants to bless you in every areas of your life, not just in a few. Final slide. So when you say yes to God, you start a journey of togetherness, right? Because it's a covenant. It's a new birth. To say yes is only the beginning. Growing to become more and more like Jesus is a lifelong process. Because a marriage is, you don't just get married and that's it. That's the best ever. No, we ontgandeer dinge, né? And we have to work things out. And the same thing the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? And what's very important, as individuals and as the church, we need to have Makarios in our hearts. We need to know that there's a blessed, there's a state of blessing that we have in Christ, and we need to start being a lot more real with one another. And I want to end with this. Might be a little bit heavy, but I just want to share this with you. I don't know how much you pray for your pastor and his wife, but I'd like to suggest that we begin to pray for them a lot more. We begin to bless them in whatever way. Not just ask, oh, well, they haven't blessed us today. Why must we bless them? I'm not talking about trying to compare or to ask questions, because it's unconditional. We need to start walking in the state of being blessed and to bless. Both those words. And I really want to encourage you this morning, as you say yes to the blessed, say yes to a covenant relationship with Jesus, not just the surface idea, but to say yes to the fullness of what God has for your life. And I just want to end with this. With all my heart this morning, I just want to encourage you that it's so easy to say yes to Christ, to get into a relationship with him. But it's a lot harder sticking with that, right? It's a lot harder to endure. We can say yes on the surface, but there's so many of you that have said yes to things, but you're battling to really follow through. Some of our marriages are not where they should be. Some of our relationships with our kids are not where they should be. With our colleagues, with our friends, with our family. Some of us are not in a relationship with our family at the moment because of all the mess that's around in this world. So I want to encourage you this morning. Yes, it's easy to compare. Yes, it's easy to justify. Yes, it's easy to try and work things out by yourself. But you see, God's calling you to say yes to something far greater this morning. God is calling you to say yes, to walk in his blessings, and to take those blessings, and to share them, and to lavish them on others. We are a church called by God to be his very hands and feet, to take his love into a broken world. You have been called by God to be a blessing. Go and live the blessed life. Take what God has put in you, the gifts and the talents. Commit yourself in covenant relationship with Him, not just on the surface. You've got to go deeper. If you don't go deeper, you're not going to experience the blessings. God wants to bless you this morning. And I want an opportunity together with the leaders just to pray for you, to pray that God would bless your marriage, God would bless your relationship with your children, that God would bless you to be a blessing to others. The challenge this morning, please say yes to the bless and not to the mess. You cannot say yes to the go if you don't say yes to the show, to show what's in you, to show what God has put in you, to be incredibly blessed by what God has put in you and lavish it on other people. We need to love on each other more, church. We need to visit each other more, church. We need to go and unconditionally just be there for one another and with one another more. We need to be an active, living church that's spelled B-L-E-S-S-I-N-G. We need to be blessings. We need to bless more. And we need to walk in His blessings for our life. Amen. Amen. Praise God.